Our first reading this morning is from John, the third chapter, verses 1 through 21. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, "Very truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above." Nicodemus said to him, "How can anyone be born after having grown old? No one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born." Jesus answered, "Very truly I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh, and what is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows when it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If you had told about the heavenly things, no one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man lift up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already, because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is God's word to us this morning.
Our second scripture reading this morning is from the letter to the Ephesians, chapter 2. "You were dead through the trespasses and sins in which you once lived, following the course of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work among those who are disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of flesh and senses, and we were by nature children of wrath, like everyone else. But God, who is rich in mercy, out of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead through our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. This is the word of God for the people of God. A writer named Philip Yancey tells the story of a young, able-bodied German evangelical student named Reiner. Reiner returned home after graduating from Bible college in the United States, and he taught at a camp for the disabled. There, relying heavily on notes from his college courses, he gave a stirring speech on the victorious Christian life. Regardless of the circumstances of your life, there is nothing you cannot achieve. You can have anything you want. God lives within you. He told his audience of paraplegics, cerebral palsy patients, and the mentally challenged. He was a little disconcerted speaking to people with poor motor control. Their heads wobbled, they slumped in their chairs, they drooled. The campers were just as disconcerted listening to Reiner. Some of them went to the director of the camp and complained that they could make no sense of what he was saying. The camp director told them, "Talk with him." One brave woman got up her courage and confronted Reiner. "It's like you're talking about the sun and we're in a dark room with no windows. We can't understand anything you say. You talk about simply overpowering all obstacles with faith and confidence alone. That's not how our lives work." Reiner was crushed. It all seemed so clear. He was quoting from Paul's letters. Didn't that make everything he was saying right? His pride was wounded, and he thought about returning the next day with some kind of a rhetorical blunt instrument. "There's something spiritually wrong with you people. You need to grow in the Lord. You need to triumph over adversity." Instead, after a lot of prayer, Reiner returned the next day with a different message. He stood in front of the campers and admitted, "I don't know what to say. I'm confused. Without the language of Christ as victory over everything in life, I don't know what to say." He stood there and hung his head. The woman who had confronted him finally spoke up from what was turning into a congregation. She said, "Now we understand you. Now we're ready to begin." Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. Now, some commenters about this say that that's because in the Gospel of John, light represents God and Jesus and wisdom, and darkness represents ignorance and sin and confusion. That would certainly cast Nicodemus's visit in a particular light, wouldn't it? Other writers say that it's simpler than that. Nicodemus fears being socially ostracized for coming to Jesus, so he comes at a time when nobody will see him. If that's true, then Nicodemus seems to have gotten over it. We later see him arguing with other Pharisees for giving Jesus a fair trial. And then he's one of the two people who buried Jesus after his death. But there is a third possibility. As a professor named Mary Ludi pointed out, the possibility is that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night precisely because he is a Pharisee. Truly devout Pharisees studied the scriptures every night. The first psalm said that their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law they meditate by day and by night. In any case, this evening, Nicodemus comes to Jesus He's heard about the signs that Jesus has been doing, and he believes that he has Jesus sorted into the right box. "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus does not fit into Nicodemus's box. He starts talking about being born from above, and he ignores Nick's protests that being born again makes no sense. The Holy Spirit goes where it wants to, and we can hear it or see it at work, but we can't control it or even track it. That's the way it is with people who are born from the Spirit. Let's face it, the Holy Spirit is immune to our rules and regulations. Eventually, Nick just stands there and hangs his head and says, "How can these things be?" Now, he is ready to begin. Nicodemus comes from a community, the Pharisees, who pride themselves on knowing things. The law, the oral traditions, the customs, the prophets, the prophecies. "Rabbi, I understand," he wants to say to Jesus. "I know who you are. I know what you do. I know why." We have people today who are sure that they know everything there is to know. They're free to speak for God because they understand God. And they're free to speak God's judgment on anyone whom they themselves don't like. These people would fit right in with the community Nicodemus is from. But Jesus doesn't care what Nicodemus knows. He cares about Nick. He wants to save Nick. And to do that, he first has to undermine what Nick sees as his life, undermine all those sensible, reasonable things that are getting in the way of his recognizing what God is doing in the world. And at the end, when all Nicodemus can do is throw up his hands, now he is ready to begin. Jesus explains that not everything fits in Nick's neat little boxes. Not everything is one size fits all. There are more things in heaven and earth, Horatio, than are dreamt of in your philosophy. Not everything in life and death is susceptible to our reason and understanding. Nicodemus lives today in everyone who's ever run headlong into the limits of our reason and understanding in the death of a child, in the helplessness of addiction, in the panicked feeling that no one will ever love us the way that we feel we ought to be loved, in the train wreck that is the end of a career or a marriage, in the constant feeling of rejection, in prayer that seems not to be answered, in the dull grayness of depression, in despair over the world's seemingly endless spiral of ever-escalating greed and violence, in the face of implacable death. Nicodemus lives in everyone who has come to the end of our reason and understanding. Nick lives in everyone who's come to the end of what fancy doctrine and our pictures of God and what we learned in Sunday school can explain. Nick lives in everyone who's hit the limits of our wisdom and our understanding of the world, hit those limits hard, and is reduced to standing there in humiliated surrender with nothing to say. Everyone who stood at that point long enough, humanly enough, without a defense or rationalization, to finally hear a voice speak up out of the silence and say, "Now you're ready to begin." Nick lives in each of us who, facing the distinct limits of our knowledge, begin again every day. Listen to what Jesus said to Nicodemus once he was ready to begin. This is how much God loves the whole world. He gave his son, his one and only son. And this is why. So that no one has to be destroyed. By believing in him, anyone can have a whole and lasting life. God didn't go to all the trouble of sending his son merely to point an accusing finger, telling the world how bad it was. He came to help, to put the world right again. We don't understand God. As human beings created by God, we're not even capable of understanding God. Part of the good news here is we don't have to. We don't have to understand God. We ought to try to learn about God. Our Sunday school classes and FAM sessions and Wednesday evening classes are a good thing. Wanting to learn about God is an expression of learning about, is an expression of loving God. No different than wanting to learn about a romantic partner or telling your kid, "How was your day at school, honey?" But we don't ever have to get to the point where we completely understand God. What we need to understand is what Jesus told Nicodemus. God loves the whole world. God loves the whole world so much that God sent his only son, the only one he's got, down here to be born, live, die, and be resurrected to save the whole world. And that includes you. Let me tell you who you are. The most important thing about you, the most important part of your identity, is not reflected on your driver's license or your passport. You are a child of the Almighty God. God loved you before you were capable of loving God back. And that's okay. God knows you better than you know yourself. God knows everything there is about you. And God loves you more deeply than you understand, more deeply than you can understand. I cannot tell you how God can love such a deeply flawed person as myself that much. But God does. And God loves you that much. And God wants all of us to love the world that God created and the other people that God created too. This simple, profound truth is what allows us to get up every day, recognizing that we don't have all the answers. This is what allows us to be born again from above every day. This is what allows us to fake it till we make it, practicing God's grace in our lives as best we can, doing the best we know how until we know better, and then doing better. So, this next week, remember who you are. Remember how much God loves you. Do the best you can to love all the other people whom God created. And when you don't succeed, or you run into something you don't understand, give it to God and start again tomorrow. Amen.